This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today we are speaking with Rabbi Mark Borowitz, author of Finding Recovery of Yourself in Torah, A Daily Spiritual Path to Wholeness, and senior rabbi at Beta Shuva, a nonprofit, non-sectarian Jewish addiction treatment center and synagogue community in Los Angeles, California. Rabbi Mark, a pleasure to have you with us today on eHealth Radio.
It's my honor. Just so you know, we're a Jewish faith-based, non-sectarian residential treatment center. People of all faiths, colors, and creeds come here.
And certainly appreciate your setting it straight right up front. So tell us about your upbringing in Ohio and what led you to a life of crime to get things started today.
I grew up a nice Jewish boy, good boy in Cleveland, Ohio. Both of my parents were great. My mother's still alive. My father died 51 years ago. What happened was I never felt like I fit. I thought everybody else had the secret to life in their back pocket, and I was lost. And I found money and crime and alcohol to be soothing for me. I equated my self-worth with my net worth. So if I had money in my pocket, I was something. If I didn't have money, I was nothing. If I could buy something for somebody, they'd be my friends. If I couldn't, then I was afraid they wouldn't want anything to do with me. Now, whether or not that was reality didn't really matter, because it was my reality. It was my perception. And kind of nobody could talk me out of it, if you know what I mean. So I lived this life, this double life. And after my father passed away, I had no, I lost my best friend. It's the easiest way for me to say it. I lost my best friend and the person who understood me the most. And it was crucial. It was a killer for me, for years, I never overcame it, to tell you the truth. I just kept believing that there was no real hope for me as far as being human goes. And I lived this double life. I found comfort in hanging out with gangsters, because to me, they were real people. They weren't phony. They were who they were, and that was it. And because my father had died, it was 1966, 67, my mother was making $2 an hour, and the mortgage was $150 a month, and she had one child in college and two at home. So if you do the math, it was impossible. And we, I just did what I had to do to make sure that I could help out. Or at least that's the story I told myself, to tell you the truth. I'm not sure how much of it is true, but I know it's the story I told myself to make what I was doing okay.
So tell us, when did your addiction begin to surface, and how did it begin to show itself?
When did my addiction begin to surface? Well, it showed itself in many ways, actually. It showed itself first in crime. I guess that's the easiest way to say it. I was stealing, and I was giving things away, and I was hustling. I was selling stolen merchandise for that the mafia, somebody who was a fence for the mafia, gave me on consignment. So my first addiction was to money and crime. And it started to manifest really when I was a teenager. I wanted to be a big shot. I thought if I was a big shot, I would be okay. What I was looking for was something outside of myself to make me okay. At the same time, I was going to synagogue and an active member of my youth group. I was president of my USY. And I what happened for me, my addiction really is about a split life where I was living two different lives. I had a nice, legitimate life that seemed really good. And, you know, I was doing everything right. And then I wound up doing this other stuff. So I'm always in this place. I was always in this place of how do I make sure that the two lives don't come together and that they don't, you know, they don't run into each other. And doing that allowed me to stay split, as we say in the psychological world. I was like two separate people, and they didn't talk to each other. And when they started to talk to each other, the only thing that soothed me was alcoholism. Drinking allowed me to forget, allowed me to just be able to breathe rather than still be afraid in my own skin, or at least uncomfortable in my own skin.
And on the positive side of the spectrum, how did you finally become clean?
Well, it was 1986. I was arrested again. I have a 5-page rap sheet, and I called my first wife and I said, come pick up this money I had. She said, what bail bondsman do you want me to call? I said, the man upstairs is trying to tell me something and I have to sit here until I can figure it out. I have no idea where those words came from these 31 years later. They were not in my consciousness. I was not thinking about God. I wasn't thinking about anything except how to get ahead and you know, how to get the next scam. So it was an ecstatic moment. God spoke to me, and I heard God speak to me, and I recognized it. And I went on this journey of study and exploration of myself. And I learned that I have to always take an accounting of myself. The Alcoholics Anonymous program, it's steps 4 through 9, where I take a searching and fearless inventory. And in Judaism, it's a practice called tshuva, which is repentance, return, and new responses. Christianity, it's about confession. So all spiritual disciplines really have this process of self-examination, self-judgment, discerning myself, you know, what's going on and what I do. And I began that exploration, and I'm in it for 31 years, and I still learn more things about myself. And I still make mistakes, but I know that they're not the difference is I've learned that I can make mistakes, and I'm not a mistake. The greatest help that I got, okay, right away from the rabbi in prison was, I'm not a mistake. Nobody is here as a mistake. And we all have a purpose, and we all have the divine spirit in us. And as Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel says, we're divine needs. And the world needs us. It's just that we have to stop buying the lies of society. That if I have the right house, the right wife, the right this, the right that, the right. Everything we have is right. We just have to know how to use it. So one of the things that I tell people, and I learned early on, is that I've always had the right answers. I've just had the wrong questions. So when I ask myself the question, how do I get out of feeling uncomfortable? How do I get out of this feeling of psychic pain? Alcohol and money, they were good answers because they got me out for that moment. If I would have asked myself, how do I go through it? Then I would have had to done an exploration of my own, an exploration of myself, my inner life, both spiritually and emotionally and psychologically. And that would have changed the whole trajectory of my life. I'm sorry. I have regrets for all the people I harmed and all the angst and aggravation that I caused to my family, to my mother, to my brothers, to my daughter, to my sister. I'm not sorry that I've landed where I have, and I'm sorry for the process that it took for me to get here. So that's where I don't regret the past. I have regrets for my actions. And I don't believe that I needed to do all those things in order to get here, because I harmed a lot of people And I don't think you ever need to harm a lot of people to get to your proper place. So part of what we do here is we help people find their passion, recover their passion, and discover their purpose. Because once we know what we're here for, we can go at it with the gusto that we went at our addiction. You know, people call addicts and alcoholics lazy and all this stuff. We are not lazy. We'll do anything to get that booze. I did anything to get money. I came up with schemes and scams that were outrageously crazy and yet worked. So it's not about, you know, all of those attributes that people put on us. It's that we don't use it for the right reasons. So recovery for me is about taking my energies and redirecting them in the right ways, taking my traits and keeping them in proper measure, pointing them in the right direction and using them for good instead of for myself. So I still hustle. I was a hustler for myself before. Now I hustle for God and for others. I hustle people to get to their true self. And that's really the change and the difference.
Today we are speaking with Rabbi Mark Borowitz, author of Finding Recovery of Yourself in Torah, A Daily Spiritual Path to Wholeness, and senior rabbi at Beit HaShuva, a nonprofit, non-sectarian Jewish addiction treatment center and synagogue community in Los Angeles, here on eHealth Radio's Addiction Prevention and Health News channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. So today you are the senior rabbi at Beit HaShuva in Los Angeles, proving that you can turn things around and make a difference. Tell us about the program and what makes Beit HaShuva unique.
Well, what makes us unique is that everybody has an addiction counselor, a therapist, and a spiritual counselor. We include mind, body, trauma, creative arts. We have a recording studio on site, music recording. We have our own branding and graphic design company. Everybody can find something that they can hook onto and hook into. And we don't have a cookie cutter attitude. Everybody who's here, we have 140 residents. Each one of them, we tailor their program to their individual need, because not all of us need the same thing. And we speak to people in ways that they can hear. We do this as a team effort, and people can walk into my office or the executive director's office or the founder's office, founder clinical director's office. Residents can walk in and just sit down and shoot the shit, so to speak. And nobody's door is closed unless there's a meeting. Otherwise, we have an open door policy. And we really meet people where they're at, because I don't know how long it's going to take somebody. So even our treatment model is open-ended, and we've never turned anybody away because they don't have the cash price or the right insurance to be able to afford. We're a nonprofit charity that believes that every soul deserves the opportunity to have a place to recover. We may not take somebody for other reasons. You know, they may be out of our scope of care, but it never is about the money. And that's very different.
In your latest book, Finding Recovery in Yourself in Torah, A Daily Spiritual Path to Wholeness, outlines your treatment methods. If you would, tell us more about your book and how this can help others in recovery.
Sure. It's a book that uses the wisdom of the Bible. See, I learned that you have to immerse yourself in text, whether it's the big book or the Bible or any other text. You have to see yourself in it. So what I do in my book is I take the first five books of the Bible, and I break them up into 7-day chunks, and I find questions for people. I give my own interpretation of a verse, and then I find the questions that are most relevant for myself and for others after speaking, you know, after all these years of teaching it, the questions that come up the most often. So what it is it's an exploration into making sure that I'm asking myself the right questions and I'm seeing myself. Because none of our issues, none of the issues we have today are unique. We want to think we're unique. In fact, that's one of the hallmarks of addiction is we're terminally unique. Now, while we're all unique individuals, the issues that we deal with since humankind has come into existence, we've dealt with blame, shame, competing and comparing, and good enough and not good enough, and all of the other human emotions that we have. And so what the Bible gives us is a way is a way to deal with them. And most people just don't know the right questions. So my book helps people use spiritual texts to deal with emotional and spiritual and psychological issues that are part of daily life. They're not going away. They're part of daily life.
Well, Rabbi Mark, it certainly sounds like a must read, and it has been an honor to have had you with us. It certainly shows that folks can recover, and you're certainly living proof of that, and you're making a difference within the recovery community, and we're honored to have you with us today. Where can listeners get all the details, not only on your book, but how they could get more information on you?
My website is rabbimark.com, and they can email me at rabbimark@rabbimark.com. And I would love to hear from people and any help I could be. Thank you for having me, and thank you for what you're doing. What you're doing is bringing hope and solutions to everybody about a wealth of health issues. And I think what you're doing is really holy and great and truly God's work. God bless you.
And we certainly appreciate those kind words, and God bless you as well. We've been speaking with Rabbi Mark Borowitz, author of Finding Recovery of Yourself in Torah, A Daily Spiritual Path to Wholeness, and senior rabbi at Beit HaShuva, a nonprofit, non-sectarian Jewish addiction treatment center and synagogue community in Los Angeles, California. And for the details, visit rabbimark.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.